Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Father, we thank you once again this evening. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. Without him, we are nothing. Lord Jesus, you didn't even start your ministry without the Holy Spirit coming upon you. Precious Father, thank you for your holy written word. Thank you for bringing us to your kingdom in such a time as this. Lord Holy Spirit, we pray that you will unveil the word of God, reveal into our spirits, strengthen, heal, deliver, and give us enlightenment that we may rise and build with you the kingdom of God. We commit ourselves to you. Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, thank you. As I was talking to you last week, and I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to bring to your remembrance the things, the very important points. Anyway, I want to just help you, those who were not here last Sunday. Jesus said in Matthew 6:18 that, 16:18, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And Jesus said, I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Most of the time, the churches and the believers have misunderstood that Satan is not going to overcome the church, even though he will attack. The church will go on. Now, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus is saying there, the church is going to rise up and attack the gates of hell. The church is going to be on the offensive side position. And Satan will not be able to stand against the church. Can somebody say amen? He will not be able to stand in our way. The church is going to just go through and kick the barriers, kick the hindrances, and the satanic all kinds of blocks away. That is what Jesus said. Taking the offensive. And there again we see that building involves battling. Brothers and sisters, you are not here by accident. I am not here by accident. Already, I want to tell you, many a time now, within these 3 years, demonic forces, Satan, used some people to get me away from this country. Even recently. But God said, no. The devil uses evil men and sometimes Christians who are out of the will of God. You know? And that is even worse. Most of the time it happens like that. So I want to tell you, while we are doing the work of God, Satan begins to attack us, but he is a loser. We are winners. We are more than conquerors. We are behind the winner. Amen. So know for certain there is this war. We cannot build without a battle. We cannot go forward without a battle. You see, it was asked a French army general, which army wins in a war? And he answered, the army which advances. You see, when the church is complacent and resting in a lethargical condition, in a comfort zone, there is no war. Satan has already had them. You see, when the church rises up and damages the kingdom of the devil, then you can see the kingdom of God taking over. As I say to most of the places, hear this very carefully. Satan has two strategies. Number one, he had blinded the minds of the people from hearing the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 3 and 4 says that. He will not allow anybody to be born again. He will prevent, he will obstruct, and he will hinder. That is his first strategy. You know, whether it's your relation, whether it's your friend, you begin to go and speak the gospel or whatever, tell about your testimony. The devil will try its level best to confuse that person and stop that person hearing the gospel. So that's number one. But when God prevails, when God takes over, you know, when God starts, no one can stop. When God saves a person, he transfers him from the kingdom of the devil into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, once that is over, the second strategy is, hear this carefully. Now that this person is born again and he has come into the kingdom of God, it will fight tooth and nail. It will give his fullest fight to not allow that person to give himself totally, unreservedly to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he may serve him and him only. Did you hear that? He will not permit you to serve him, to walk in your calling, to release your anointing, to take the place exactly where God has called you in the church, the gifting that he has imparted to you, even from the foundations of the world. And you can see these two things. I've seen many people, many churches, most of the majority of the people, they're just listeners. They just hear the word of God. And that's all. Only few fighters you will have there. Few warriors you will have there. And they do all the battle. The others sit back and then watch. Like the others, Israelites, you know, when David went to war against Goliath. And these people just sat, you know. You remember last time I told you? Eliab, he was asking David, "What, you have come to see the battle?" There was no battle. There was no battle. They were caught up in fear. You see, Goliath was frightening them. So this verse tells us what Jesus said. There has to be battle. And church will have to go marching forward, destroying the works of the devil. If Jesus came into this world to destroy the works of the devil, the church must be doing the same. If we are doing anything other than what Jesus Christ did, we are in a wrong ministry. Are you hearing me? Secondly, I want to show you another scripture where Jesus connects building and battling. There is no building without a war. Turn with me to Luke. Chapter 14. Are you getting the word of God into your spirit? Get it prayerfully. This is the most important time. See, if we are not strong in the word, then we are losers. We have lost the war. Luke chapter 14, verse 28. Watch the words of Jesus. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, and all who see it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Look at me. What Jesus is talking about building, isn't it? He says, yes, it's a building. We are in the business of building together with God. Co-laborers with God. And we are here to see the kingdom of God manifested. And the building comes first. And Jesus immediately connects the building. Watch it now. He continues. Oh, what a king going to make war. Can you see that? Building is connected with war. What king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? So here we see, even in these scriptures, Jesus connects the building with warring, building and battling. So, brothers and sisters, if the church is just in the defensive position, listen carefully. Satan knows as long as the church is in the defensive position, oh Lord, protect us, Lord, protect our church. Oh yeah, that's good to pray like that. But then as long as we are in the defensive position, Satan knows that his kingdom cannot be overthrown. Yeah. But when we march forward and we take the position what God has given us in the authority of the name of Jesus, and we go daring, using that authority, Satan will oppose, Jesus said, but he cannot prevail. He cannot stand against the believer. No, because greater one is in us than who is in the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? So brothers and sisters, let this be settled, that when you are about to do a work of God, when God has called you to do a work and the Lord is with you, let me tell you, the devil will oppose you. But he is a loser. He is a loser. You have the authority of the name of Jesus. You have the power of the blood of Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit within you. And you have the two-edged sword, the sword of the Holy Spirit, the word of God. What is going to be against you? We are the winners. But I want to tell you, there is a battle. But you find many, many times in churches, people, they have no battle at all. They are in a comfort zone. They are as if they are sitting and watching a television program. And they expect the pastor to entertain. And they go from church to church for good songs, good music. A pastor who talks very, very nice, he speaks. But sound preaching, messages of repentance are not welcome these days. Messages of warnings are not welcome these days. Speak to us something about what we like. Can you see how the churches are bound by this kind of a satanic spirit of witchcraft? Binding the pastor, binding the committee. And they're crippled. Like a man who is crippled, bedfast. No war. No attack. Nothing. Very sad, isn't it? So I just want to speak to you. Turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. He is a man of God. And he was stirred up by the Holy Spirit. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for your presence. He got stirred up and then he prayed. And like you and me, he never had the power of the name of Jesus, the authority of the name of Jesus to use. He never had the blood of Jesus Christ at that time. No, nothing. He never had even the Holy Spirit living within him. He was not a born-again person. But yet, with all these shortcomings, he was using prayer as a weapon. He was communing with God. And when he started to do the work of God, to build the walls of Jerusalem, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, and the opposition came. I just want to go quickly. Well, I've got some, I think about nine points. Let's see how far we can go. So already I think we have taken 10 minutes. Another 20 minutes or so, or 25 minutes, we'll see how far we go, and then we will continue later on. Chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, Nehemiah. Can you open, please, if you will? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we depend on you for revelation. Depend on you, Lord. Chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. When Nehemiah started his ministry, listen carefully. This word comes to you directly. And God, the Holy Spirit, is going to stir you And I firmly believe it. And I again say, I want to say that you're not hearing this by accident. And you're not here by accident. Then I went to the governors in the region beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite officials heard of it, they were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. Look at me. Whenever you start the work of God, whenever you are, you just want to do the ministry of the Lord, and when the Lord is with you, and when the devil hears of it, it gets disturbed. The devil gets disturbed, and the condition, the condition of the devil, the feelings of the devil is shown through his citizens, his people. And here is Tobiah and Sanballat. They got disturbed. You remember when Jesus was born, when Herod heard it, Herod and the whole Jerusalem got disturbed. They were troubled. The devil get disturbed. No, for sure. Whatever that is written here, it is written for our learning what was happening in the spiritual kingdom. You got to go deep and then see. When Nehemiah started his work, devil got disturbed. And that was shown through these two chaps. It was under his kingdom. They got disturbed. They got troubled. You see, brothers and sisters, when I started the ministry, way back in 1981, I got just got saved, and then when I started to read the Bible, the first person who got disturbed was my mother. She was a strong Roman Catholic, and she got disturbed, and she just was furious. She says, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm reading the Bible. I'm telling you the truth." And she would went to the point in saying me not to call her mother. "Mom." She said, "What are you doing? You are going to a different religion." I said, "What? I'm reading the Word of God." Look, I was smoking and I was taking some drinks here and there. And I was a good boy and going to Sundays, and then I was considered a good boy. Now that I got born again, I'm reading the Bible. And Mom says, "No, I've got nothing to do with you. You've got to read the Bible." And I did not know that I was facing the religious demon at that time. And like her, I was totally captured by the spirit of religion, staying in Roman Catholicism. I am not attacking the Roman Catholic Church. I'm just telling you the facts. So I was surprised when I asked the Lord. I was just a babe in Christ. I said, Lord, what is this? What happened? What? I don't know what you did in my heart. But every time I thought of Jesus, I was weeping. I was just drawn like a starving dog to the Word of God. I would read and then I would weep. And sometimes I would read and the way Jesus answered back to the Pharisees, and I would burst out laughing, you know. The way he answered them back. And here I am opposed. I was opposed by the Roman Catholic priests. They looked at me in a different way. They called me even a traitor and a false prophet. They got disturbed. I had my education in a Roman Catholic college. The fathers, Jesuit fathers we had there as rector and principals, they are from the United States, white people. I had my early education over there. And none of them wanted to have anything to do with me when they heard that I, you know, I'm just now reading the Bible and they all got disturbed. Did anybody get disturbed? Because you came into the kingdom of God, or because you are following Jesus Christ? If not, I question your walk with God. If the devil is not disturbed, then something is wrong. Either we are on God's side or on devil's side. There is no neutrality. Nothing. Oh my goodness. Isn't it so wonderful that the Lord has brought us in such a time as this for his kingdom, to do his work. You have been, many of you have been like me, brought from your countries in a miraculous way. Unconscious guidance. Jacob. And you are here to do his will and his purpose. Can't you see? Are we here to just learn lessons one after the other and just wait? No. No. If the Israelites have waited that side of the river, the Jordan, not going inside Canaan, they would never have had taken those cities. No. So, brothers and sisters, if the devil is not disturbed, we need to question, hey, is my walk right with God? Am I going forward in my spiritual life? We need to ask. But I tell you, when the Lord is with you, and when you are marching forward, the devil is going to come against you. But I have news for you. You will punch him right on his face. You will. Oh yes. You will be known in hell. Because the devil, actually the devil is not after you and me, he's after our anointing, you know. Yeah. It is frightened of the anointing. Because he lost his anointing. So cheer up. God has anointed you and brought you to this place. In a time like this. Okay. All right. Now, the second opposition I want to take to you is Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. And I told him of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. But when Sanballat and Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite officials, and Geshem the Arab heard of it, you are going to see every time the word, when they heard, when they heard, when they heard. I have a little bit of an advice for you. When you want to do something for Christ, when you want to do something for the Lord, don't go and advertise everywhere. Because the devil will go out and then do many things against you. Don't give him an opportunity. Don't go and just blabber everything like Joseph, all your dreams. That was given to you. Please hear this. When they heard, somebody had gone and told them. When they heard of it, Nehemiah, what he was trying to do, watch it now. When they heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? Brothers and sisters, we know that we are not fighting against the flesh and blood. Saints of God, listen, our fight is not with men. Our fight is with spiritual wickedness forces, satanic, demonic spirits, principalities and powers. That's right. See, Nehemiah is actually facing spiritual attacks. But that story is written for you and me. So we can see clearly what was open for them. And we understand it very spiritually. Devil was trying to use, especially those two men. The Arab and the Sanballat and Tobiah. And so they ridiculed and they laughed. Here comes the mocking spirit. The devil, when you're about to do a work for the Lord, he'll come to laugh at you. He'll ridicule you. He'll discourage you, laughing. You know, some people, when I started to share with one or two people, words came to me. What does he know about the Bible? Can he preach like our fathers? You mean the priests? They went to the Bible college for 12 years. What does he know about the Bible? Can you read? They laughed at me. They even questioned. He doesn't have any authority to preach. How he's going to do it? What does he know about the Bible? That's the way the devil speaks, brother. I was so, and I thought to myself, oh Lord, I don't even know ABC of the Bible. I'm just reading it. I only studied it for my exams. And somehow I got through with distinction. The Christianity was one subject. But these people are talking like this. What am I to do? But the Holy Spirit strengthened me. I went on. I just went like a star. I want to say that. Like a starved dog eating the word. And I want to say, and when you want to do the work of the Lord, the mocking spirit will come. People will come to laugh at you. He's telling it. Some, maybe in a meeting or somebody, maybe in a birthday party or something, you want to give your testimony. The person who is next to you laughing. Something you're speaking about the Lord. Rubbish. Mocking spirit. You got to watch out. Mocking spirit. You see, Satan's dissatisfaction is shown through his subjects, his people. Sanballat and Tobiah. He mocks them. See, Jesus was despised. Watch this. But when Sanballat and Horonite Tobiah, verse 19, Ammonite officials, Geshem the Arab, heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us. People will despise you. Jesus was despised and rejected by men. You see, Satan will send people to despise you, to mock at you. Don't give in. Don't quit. You are on the right track. Because you are on the right track, the devil is troubling you. Hallelujah! If he's not troubling you, you better check up your walk. You had better. Hallelujah. You know, as I said at the very beginning, the devil has been using some people and then writing anonymous letters here and there to some government authorities to get me out of this place. And I told the Lord, Lord, why the devil is so mad? What if I just go? I don't mind going anyway. My people over there, church is over there. They are willing to. They're waiting to accept me over there. But what? So I said, Lord, I want to take up this challenge. Let me see. Let me see what the devil can do. But the Holy Spirit is in us. He is greater. He who has called us is greater. And he is faithful. And he will finish that work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, you know, it really pays to serve the Lord. Really pays. Yeah, I want to tell you. See? So I many times I would go on my knees those days, and I will tell exactly what I go through to the Lord. Lord, mom is saying like this, and these people are coming and telling me like this. What am I to do? Truly, what they say is right. I don't know the word. But why are you, even though I didn't know the word, people were coming three and four to my home, you know. They were coming just to study from me. And I go to myself, what do I know to tell them? Oh, I got news to tell you how the Lord led me. I'll come back to it later on for a day that. How the Lord started it. All right. Now, there was a time, I want to tell this experience. After a Sunday school meeting, we went to a village, myself and Charmaine, my wife. And after teaching the children, little kids, this was early back in 1982-83, and there was a man, his brother is a real wizard. You know what I mean? The man works for the devil. And he was a total Hindu man. And this man, that man's brother, they were Roman Catholics. So this lady came and asked me whether he could, you know, he's having all kinds of convulsions and behaving abnormally at nights and getting up and shouting. So I went to pray. When I went near him, the demon manifested in him. Now listen to this carefully. And he knows not one word in English. And I said, I looked at him, and the demon just came on his face, and he looked at me and said, oh, you are Vincent Balnathan? You are? You have power? And I was dumbfounded. I said, this man, how can he speak English? I said, Lord, within me, what am I to do now? And suddenly these words came in my heart. I said, you devil, shut your big mouth and I bind you in the name of Jesus. You get out of this man. And when I was speaking these words, he started to wumble, you know, to shiver here and there. And he was making all kinds of noises. The reason why I said this, the devil wanted to put me down by mocking at me, laughing at me. The same way it happened for Nehemiah. It came with a spirit of mockery to despise him, to stop the work of God. Brothers and sisters, expect it, but the Lord is on your side. You will win. Hallelujah. Nehemiah chapter 4, 1 to 3. Let's see. You know, the devil never stops. See there, that word coming on and on. When they heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And this time the spirit of anger comes. The spirit of anger, the devil shows the anger. Of course, the early church, when they were marching forward, the spirit of anger, the satanic spirit through the Pharisees and those priests opposed them, took them and beat them up in prison. And they threatened them, you will not speak in the name of Jesus. And they never gave in. And they said, it's up to you to decide whether to, for us to obey God or to obey you. We cannot deny what we have seen and what we have heard. And they went on. And the devil lost. Amen. You see, it'll threaten. It'll get angry. Yeah, of course, it'll get angry. There was a time when people, the Roman Catholics, were being touched by the word of God. And they were coming. The crowd was increasing during our early ministry times. And these priests really, really got angry. And they even started saying my name on their sermons in the churches. To be very careful of a false prophet. They really got angry. They wouldn't even look at me. And I want to say, the devil will use the spirit of anger when you do God's ministry and go forward. It'll shout at you. It may come through. Maybe if your husband is not saved, you can expect that. You can get, you can even notice as you get near the Lord and go forward in the ministry of God, and that side it'll go worse and worse. Your husband will get worse and worse. There was a lady who came to our, got saved and came to our church, and then after she came, this man used to just sleep at home and he'll go never go anywhere. And when she started to come to church, this man got up early in the morning and went to the Hindu temple. Can you believe that? Wow, let me tell you. But we win. Hallelujah. So, they got angry. Verse 2. And he spoke before his brethren, the army of Samaria, and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish? Stones that are burnt? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, whatever they build, even a fox goes up on it. He will break down their stone wall. Can you see? This is again the spirit of discouragement. What do you know? You want to witness and you want to teach them. What do you know about the word of God? You have not even gone to the Bible college. What are you trying to teach? Why are you trying to witness for Jesus? You think you can win some people? You think you can convert me? Those are the questions he's asked over there. Can you see how the evil kingdom is operating through those two men? Asking all kinds of questions to confuse, to discourage Nehemiah. You can be sure the spirit of discouragement, even it'll start from your very own home. when you begin, rise up to do the work of God. You may be just a Sunday school teacher. You may be an organist, a worship leader. You may be just a whatever in capacity that you are going to serve God. You can expect the spirit of discouragement. Most often, it'll come from your very own home. And God will permit that to test us, whether he will say, nothing doing. I'm going forward. I am going forward. That is the war. That is the battle. You know, many a times we think that people think that, you know, when we begin to serve the Lord and the devil is going to just clear up the way and then allow us to serve God. No. I just, as some people say, that he's going to spread a red carpet for us to walk on it. No. No. There is going to be battle, but we are winners. We are winners. Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail. I have given you authority to tread upon scorpions and serpents. I have given you authority. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. How many Christians are using these weapons? How many are engaged in this warfare and ending up as victors? See, it is heartbreaking to see the believers, you know, seated as if, you know, there's nothing. I mean, when you look at them, there's no war around them. You can just see they're just simply taken over by the devil. They don't know whether they're in the church or whether what. All what they know is, well, I'm saved once upon a time. That's all I know. Jesus loves me and I love him. And the devil says, good luck to you. Stay like that. Don't you come against me. As one New Zealand pastor asked me as I preached this in his church and I'm going back, and he said, Vincent, what are we to do? Why we have no revival? Why there is nothing here? I said, wait. You trouble the devil and then you wait and see what he's going to do. There is no persecution. So the church is seated so well and comfort. You give him trouble and see. Hallelujah. How many of you would like to turn Scarborough and Toronto upside down? You better rise up in the spirit of God. You better put the word of God inside of you and take a stand for the Lord. If you compromise with everybody and even in your home, there is no battle. What battle for a person who compromises? The early church never compromised. Moses never compromised with Pharaoh. He said, let my people go. That was his sermon. Let my people go. Thus saith the Lord. And if you don't let my people go tomorrow at this time, you have more authority. The church has more authority these days. That was Old Testament times. Yes! Moses never had the blood of Jesus. Moses never had the authority in the name of Jesus. Today, we have the Holy Spirit, the one who divided the Red Sea, living within you and me. And the church is without revelation. The church has not got the revelation as to know that God is inside of you. We have not come to the position to know, to have God inside minded. Yeah. We have not come, brothers and sisters. Nehemiah chapter 4. So the spiritual attack, opposition goes on. As Nehemiah and his colleagues, those who joined with him to build Jerusalem. Fourth chapter, verses 7 and 8. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard, familiar word, isn't it? Heard, always when they hear, heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. When the gaps were being closed, Sanballat and all the others, the Arabs and all the ites, got very angry. The devil gets angry when the gaps gets closed in the church. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by gaps? Differences, divisions, misunderstandings, unforgivenesses. Those bring gaps between people, between brothers and brothers and brothers and sisters, and between husband and wife. The gaps are there because of holding grudges and bitternesses and unforgiveness. With the gaps, you cannot build. So we need to close the gaps. And one of the best things that we can do is forgive. Did you hear me? With the gaps, you cannot build the church. With divisions, with all kinds of grudges, unforgivenesses, no church can be powerful. We cannot say, like the Lord, the prince of the world is coming, let the devil come, but we have nothing in us. Now, can we say that? No. With unforgiveness, bitterness, and grudges, we cannot say those things. So the gaps need to be closed. So when the gaps gets closed, the devil gets angry. Can you see that? When those people heard, the gaps are being closed. See, always you can see the spiritual side of it. Most of the time, that's why they are written for us. Not just to study as a story. See? Nehemiah is wise. What happens? Let's read, continue. When they got angry, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. So first, the spirit of anger rises. When the church goes forward and the gaps are being closed and brethren get together in unity and they start praying, hey, come on now, let's build, let's pray, and let's seek the face of the Lord to see what God has for us, for this little flock, for this ministry, for this church. And when we get together like that and forgive each other and hug each other and really with open-heartedness serve the Lord, the devil gets angry. He sends the spirit of anger. And not only that, it sends the spirit of confusion. Can you see what happens in the spirit world? And God shows here. See, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and to create confusion. You know, Satan gathers up his demons, his principalities and powers, and tries to instigate through the people to attack, to bring division, to divert, to distract the church from going forward. Are you hearing me? We cannot keep our eyes closed. This is a spiritual warfare. What was the remedy? What did Nehemiah do? Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God. And because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. So there were some warriors holding spears and swords, and others were working. We need some prayer warriors. We need some people who can war against demonic spirits. Not just, oh Lord, please. That's okay for babes. We need those people. Come on, in the name of Jesus. You devil, you spirit of pride. And we command you in Jesus' name to get off from this church. You spirit of division, take your hands off. You break your power. Leave in the name of Jesus. You spirit of adultery, you have no room in this church. Hey, Somebody said amen here. Oh yeah. Brothers and sisters, let me say this with my heart. The Lord is after doing, he's looking out for some people surrendered unreservedly, without any differences, without having any racial difference, without any kind of difference and division. United people to get this showdown, to show the power of the name of Jesus Christ. And the name of Jesus is exalted forever. Above every name he has exalted. And the earth, this world must know that. Oh, thank God, the name of Jesus is above every name. Coming days, we should be so filled with the power of God and the anointing of God. We should be so filled with the word of God. And when we walk, and these people who are under the power of the devil, whether the people, or Halloween people, or anybody, they must look at you and then shudder. And frightened to look at you straight. Yeah, because the glory of the latter temple will be greater, it is written. Where are we? Where are we? Brothers and sisters, where are we? So Nehemiah, he set up some people to pray against the attacks. Do we have some people to pray against the attacks here? Do we say, Pastor, we want to have a, why not we organize a night vigil? We want to just pray against us. Every attacking force. Yeah, we need some people. We need volunteers. See, there are some volunteers. The people now already, they've gone out into battle now. The battle is on now. I heard one little girl, 4-year-old girl, said, Bush, I don't want to lose my dad in the battle, but then I am just giving him to you because it's a worthy cause. Yeah. And he's battling over there. He's probably one of the pilots. Can you see the kids? They know better now. We are in a battle. And how can the church be? Or tell us another story. Just like the other one. This is not the time. This is not the time. Oh, brothers and sisters. Wow. Verse 10. Then Judah said, watch this. The strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not unable to build the wall. See? Where there's rubbish inside, we cannot build the walls. When there's rubbish of pride, rubbish of unforgiveness, rubbish of bitterness, rubbish of fault finding, rubbish of adultery. With all these things, we cannot build the wall. Those things we'll have to leave. Those things we'll have to be dealt with. See? That's problem within. That's a problem within. Those things need to be taken away. Rubbish need to go. See? Rubbish of coldness, rubbish of strife within, rubbish of lies and hypocrisy. Those things we'll have to leave. Yes. Now, chapter 4, verse 12. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them that they told us, 10 times from whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. Now, Christians who are closer to the devil, Christians who are closer to, I mean, they are living a loose life and they are gone near the devil's kingdom. Those people will always talk negative and bring negative words. Isn't it true? They are, oh, wow. They would try to frighten us. Yeah. So these Jews who were living near the enemies, who were frightening Nehemiah and crowd, they brought the news, negative news. What are you going to do if they come suddenly? And what will you do? I mean, we will all die. There will always somebody there who frightened.
Yeah, always, always. And what happened? Now watch this. For whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. Therefore, I position men to hinder the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set people according to their families with their swords and their spears and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the leaders and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses. Brothers and sisters, we are the ones who know the word of God. We need to fight for our brethren. We need to fight for our children. We need to fight for our sisters. We need to fight for our fathers and mothers. Get them from the hands of the devil, from witchcraft, from blindness. That's why they're not coming to church. That's why they don't want to read the Bible. Yes. We need to fight for them. Spiritual battle, spiritual battle. Nehemiah said, fight. See, even though those Jews, they came and frightened them 10 times, he said, no, we will fight. We are not going to give in to fear. We are not going to give in to confusion. We will fight. That's right. That's what it said. Let us come over to the 6th chapter. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem and Arab and the rest of the enemies heard that I had built the wall. Now the wall is over. And that there were no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors in the gates. That Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. Now comes deception. The spirit of deception. And not only that, the spirit of distraction. You see, many a times the distraction spirit will come so that we will get diverted and we don't concentrate on what the Lord called us to do. You see, distraction. All the time the devil will try to send so that I had to go for that. I had to go for this. Oh, what shall I do? Maybe, oh, what are they going to say? What are they going to think? Maybe the Lord understands. So they get diverted. They get distracted. You remember in the Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 6, when the widows and others, when they did not receive the food, the normal quota, and there was a commotion. They started to, what's happening here? And then they started to serve tables. And they thought, hey, wait a minute now. We are not called to do this. Let us appoint 7 men. And then let us do our job, preaching the word and spending time in prayer. How many of you remember? You read that in Acts chapter 6, verse 4. Let us spend our time in preaching the word and spending time in prayer. The devil wanted to distract them and doing some other work. And giving food for the widows is a good job. I mean, it's not bad. Let me tell you, the devil will try to distract us by showing some good things. Listen to me, everyone, those who are behind. Some good things are the enemy of God's best. Did you hear me? Let me say that again. Some good things are the enemy of God's best. It was a good thing to prepare some tea or whatever, a drink for the Bible study prayer meeting that Martha and Mary they had. Martha was busy in preparing that. But it's the best thing to listen to the word of God like Mary. And God said, Jesus said, Mary has chosen the good part. Are you there? Some good things will be the enemy. And we will think, oh well, the devil chose some good things. The devil is not going to ask you to go to a cinema. No, 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 no. You will immediately refuse. He will show some good things. Why don't you sit and write a letter to somebody who does not know the Lord? Why, you can stay. Hey, you went in the morning anyway to the church. Stay. You got all the time to write a letter. Maybe in another time, why should you lose your anointing and the presence of God? Amen. That's right. Yeah, you'll show some good things. Oh, yes, certainly. Oh, yes. So it was a distraction, deception. And Nehemiah knew it immediately. He knew it. Hey, they planned to do harm. They just wanted to just take me off from it. What did he say? Now let us read. But they sent me this message 4 times. I answered them in the same manner. Verse 3, let's go back. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave and go down to you? Now, after the fifth verse, and Balak sent his servant to me as before, the fifth time. Hello, brothers and sisters. The devil, he never gives up. It comes on and on and on and on. And you also should learn to say no, 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 no. That's what exactly. Watch this. See that word, verse 2. Sanballat Geshem sent to me saying, come let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. When the devil calls you, you say, oh no. Oh no. Not coming. And you got to say over and over. You got to say over and over. The devil will distract you with giving more work. That's what he did with Pharaoh. Getting those people busy, 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 busy. No time to serve God. So that is another deception of the enemy, spirit of deception. Chapter 6, verse 5 and 7. Now, Sanballat sent his servant to me before the fifth time with the open letter and said, it was written, I have no time to read the whole thing. He said, you are rebelling against the king. You people are trying to rebel. And you people are trying to have a real trouble here. And he accused. And then we heard that, Nehemiah, you are trying to be a prophet. You are trying to become a king to your people. That's what we have heard. Accusation. The devil will come with accusation when we start serving the Lord. He will accuse you and accuse you and accuse you. He will start writing letters to you and put you down and discourage you and ridicule you. All these things will come on and on and on and on. Don't give in. Don't give in. All these things are coming only because you are going forward in the anointing of the Lord. That's why. These attacks are coming because of that. So Sanballat, Nehemiah, what did he say? Verse 8, then I sent to them saying, no, such things as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. For they all were trying to make us afraid, saying their hands will be weakened in the work and it will not be done. So Nehemiah continued to pray and continued to pray. Verse 10, afterward I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delilah, the son of Mehetabel, who was secret informer. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple. And let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night they will come to kill you. Now this is a spirit of fear, witchcraft. Remember, the great prophet Elijah ran for his life when the spirit of witchcraft attacked him. For one woman, he never was fearful of the woman, but the spirit of witchcraft through Jezebel attacked him, and that gave him fear, and Elijah ran. Always the spirit of witchcraft will give you fear. Servants of God, most of the time they get frightened when the spirit of witchcraft attacks. It will cripple you in fear. But Nehemiah, through prayer, stood the ground. He said, no, I am not coming there. How can a man like me go and hide? He never gave in for that spirit of witchcraft. No. See? Oh, hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, saints of God, God will give us victory if we take the stand. We need to have a good knowledge of the Word of God, and the Word of God must be taken daily and kept in our hearts, confessed. And the believers must meet together and we pray. And then we go forward in the anointing. What we know to do, we must do. Whether it's a little thing or what, we must continue serving the Lord. And the doors will open. But we sit and relax. And just watch what the pastor is doing. You are not going to come to the center of God's will. The ministry is not going to just on its own open. God is not going to show you from A to Z. No. Everything starts little And what you know to do right now, you must do it faithfully with all your strength, with all your desire, and the rest is with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So here we have the spirit of accusation, the spirit of deception and witchcraft. As we go forward now, and as we ask the Lord, Lord, open my eyes that I may see why you have called me. And as you are in the church, whatever that is given to you, do it wholeheartedly for the Lord. It may be even arranging the chairs. It may be in fixing up these wires. It means nothing to me. I'll do it anytime. God will take you from there. Yeah. I heard Kenneth Copeland say he used to arrange his own sound, and he used to fix his own wires and then go on round the pulpit and then preach and then come back and take the cassettes, make his own copies and then sell it. Years back. Yeah. Because Gloria never knew what to do with that sound. Be faithful. Don't just come and then go and be satisfied. Ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do? Why you have brought me to this position? Why I am in Canada? Why I am listening to this message? Why I am in this church? Why you have revealed the scriptures to me? There are so many this night, this right at this time, dying in bombing and in shootings. Children, parents, families, innocent people on the roads without even having heard once the gospel. Isn't it true? So let us arise and do this work of the Lord, and it will pay you. It is so good to serve the Lord.